हरे कृष्ण।
जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम the first canto, 12th chapter, titled Birth of Emperor Parikshit, text number 5.
Sampadakratavo loka Mahishi bhrataro mahi Jambudvipadipatyam cha Yashascha tridivam gatam సంపదకృతవో లోకా మహిషీ భ్రాతరో మహీ జంబుద్వీపాధిపత్యం చ యశశ్చ త్రిదివం గతం సంపదకృతవో లోకా మహిషీ భ్రాతరో మహీ జంబుద్వీపాధిపత్యం చ యశశ్చ త్రిదివం గతం. సంపద క్రతవో లోకా మహిషీ భ్రాతరో మహీ జంబుద్వీపాధిపత్యం చ యశశ్చ త్రిదివం గతం. సంపద క్రతవో లోకా జంబుద్వీపాధిపత్యం చ యశశ్చ త్రిదివం గతం. సంపద క్రతవో లోకా మహిషీ భ్రాతరో మహీ జంబుద్వీపాధిపత్యం చ యశశ్చ త్రిదివం గతం. మాతాజీ, వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్స్. సంపదః ఆప్యులెన్స్, క్రతవః సాక్రిఫైసెస్, లోకాః ఫ్యూచర్ డెస్టినేషన్, మహిషీ ద క్వీన్స్, భ్రాతరః ద బ్రదర్స్, మహీ ది ఎర్త్, జంబుద్వీప the globe or planet of our residence, adipatyam sovereignty, cha also yashah fame, cha and tridivam celestial planets, gatam spread over. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. News even reached the celestial planets about Maharaj Yudhishthir's worldly possessions, the sacrifices by which he would attain a better destination, his queen, his stalwart brothers, his extensive land, his sovereignty over the planet Earth, and his fame, etc. Purport. Only a rich and great man's name and fame are known all over the world, and the name and fame of Maharaj Yudhishthir reached the higher planets because of his good administration, worldly possessions, glorious wife Draupadi, the strength of his brothers Bhima and Arjuna, and his solid sovereign power over the world known as Jambudvipa. Here the word lokaha is significant. There are different lokas or higher planets scattered all over the sky, both material and spiritual. A person can reach them by dint of his work in the present life, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.25. No forceful entrance is allowed there. The tiny material scientists and engineers who have discovered vehicles to travel over a few thousand miles in outer space will not be allowed entrance. That is not the way to reach the better planets. One must qualify himself to enter into such happy planets by sacrifice and service. Those who are sinful in every step of life can expect only to be degraded into animal life, to suffer more and more the pangs of material existence, and this is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 16.19. Maharaj Yudhishthir's good sacrifices and qualifications were so lofty and virtuous that even the residents of the higher celestial planets were already prepared to receive him as one of them.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం
Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we have just started this 12th chapter of this first canto, in which birth of Maharaj Parikshit is described. So let us do a quick recap of what we have seen till now, the four verses which have already been covered. So just to get the context of what we are going to discuss today. So Shaunakadi Rishis, they say, Ashvatthamno pasrishtena brahma shirshnor tejasa uttaraya hato garbha ishena ajivita punaha. So they are expressing a desire to know about Parikshit Maharaj. They say, the womb of Mother Uttara was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashvatthama. But Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. Tasya janma mahabuddhehe karmani cha mahatmanaha nidanam cha yataivasi sa pretya gatavanyata. So they are asking three things. How was he born? How was he born in that womb which was actually destroyed by the Brahmastra of Ashvatthama? How did he die subsequently? And what was his destination after death? We would like to know. Why? Because he was Mahatmana. He was a greatly intelligent person, great devotee of the Lord. So we are really eager to know about how did he eventually take birth from that womb? And how did he die? And what destination did he achieve after his death? Tadidam shrotamichamo gaditum yadi manyase bruhina shraddadana nam yasya jnanam adat shukaha. We are very eager to understand the subject matter, especially the subject matter which was imparted by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. Can you please narrate what exactly happened? Please speak on the subject matter. So this was a question. Essentially, Shaunakadi Rishis want to know about the birth, death and destination of Parikshit Maharaj. That was the question. But interestingly, Suta Goswami, without directly addressing this point, he starts speaking about the reign of Yudhishthir Maharaj, which seems little strange. He is not directly answering the question. He is talking about the reign of Yudhishthir Maharaj, which is not the question at all. So he says, Apipala Dharmarajaha Pitruvad Ranjayan Prajaha Nispraha Sarvakamebhya Krishna Padanu Sevaya. Emperor Yudhishthir administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like a father. He had no personal ambition and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service under the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. So, it seems little
not so connected with the question that has been asked by Shaunakada Rishis. So here the Acharya's comment, the three verses describe Yudhishthir Maharaj in order to indicate that the cause of attaining such a grandson was his attachment to Krishna. Krishna Padanu Sevaya. So how can you speak about Parikshit Maharaj's greatness before talking about his pedigree in the form of Yudhishthir Maharaj? Now he says, how could Parikshit Maharaj be so exalted? You can see it that way. Or you can see it as, how could such an exalted Parikshit Maharaj take birth in this way? Either way you see, he is connecting it to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Because Yudhishthir Maharaj was such a great emperor. Right? And then today's verse describes how the news about his worldly possessions and everything reach the celestial planets. And then, in tomorrow's verse, he will give the logical connection as to why he is speaking about Yudhishthir Maharaj, where he says, Kimte kama surasparha mukunda manaso dvijaha adijakhrur mudam rajyah kshuditasya yatetare. Even though Yudhishthir Maharaj was endowed with so much opulence, Kimte kama, he did not really desire it. Why? Mukunda manaso. He was Mukunda manasaha. His heart was completely filled with Krishna. He was satisfied. Kshuditasya yatetare. Just like a hungry person will be satisfied only by food. He will not be satisfied by anything else. So similarly, Yudhishthir Maharaj was satisfied only by his association with Krishna and his thoughts of Krishna. He was not satisfied by anything else. And thus, such an exalted soul as Parikshit Maharaj would take birth from this lineage. Now, we will first talk on this theme. Because this is directly, when a question was asked about Parikshit Maharaj, he is directly speaking about his predecessors, his grandfather, in order to connect the pedigree of Parikshit Maharaj. So now, the question that naturally comes is that, so does it mean that a devotee is guaranteed a devotee son or daughter? Or is it that one who has already practiced Krishna consciousness in his previous life but could not complete, will he be guaranteed devotee parents? Because this seems to be suggesting here. Here is Shaunakada Rishi is asking about Parikshit Maharaj, but Suta Goswami is glorifying Yudhishthir Maharaj, his grandfather, and Srila Vishwanatha Thakur directly says that because he wants to tell the exact words that he says is three verses describe Yudhishthir in order to indicate that the cause of attaining such a grandson was his attachment to Krishna. So if someone is attached to Krishna, will he beget a son or a daughter who is a devotee? Okay. This is the first theme we will discuss, and if time permits, we will go to the next theme. So, let us see what the Shastras say. So first, let us take, in Bhagavad Gita, is there any place where Krishna suggests a favorable birth due to a prayer practice? Sixth chapter, right? So let us see what is the context and see what Krishna exactly says. Okay. So sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about Ashtanga Yoga. He's not talking about Bhakti Yoga. Okay. So in that chapter, Krishna describes the path of Ashtanga Yoga, and at the end of that description, Arjuna feels little not so confident. So he says, Chanchalam hi manak Krishna pramati balavad dridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayorivasudushkaram. Mind is so fickle, so running here and there. I don't think it's very much possible to practice this path of Ashtanga Yoga. I mean, what you are suggesting, I don't see it's very practical. So in response, Krishna says, Asamshayam, no doubt. Difficult prath. Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam. No doubt the mind is very difficult to control and very fickle. But Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagyena Chagrihyate. But with proper practice and proper detachment, Vairagya, it is possible. It is not impossible, he says. No, I don't want. I'm still feeling cold, that's why I was looking. So therefore he says, no doubt, but with proper practice and detachment it is possible, he says. Now, at this point of time, Arjuna gets a doubt. What if one faithfully takes up to the process, but he is not able to muster sufficient practice and detachment? What will happen to him? So he says, Ayati Shraddayopeto Yoga Chalita Manasa Aprapya Yoga Samsiddhim Kam Gatim Krishna Gatsati. He says, what about that, O Krishna, what is the destination of that person? Shraddaya Upeto. He is very faithfully, he has taken up to the path of yoga. But Ayati. Ayati means he is not able to, you said, Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagyena Chagrihyate. He is not able to put that Abhyas persistently. And yoga chalita manasa. And he is not, his mind is running here and there. He is not determined. Vairagya is also not there. Abhyasa is weak. Vairagya is weak. But he has faithfully taken up to the yoga. Kam gatim Krishna gachati. What will be his destination? Then he clarifies the question little more. Kachin nobaya vibrashtas chinnabram iva nashyati. Apratishto mahabaho vimudo. Brahmanapati. He says, in his endeavor to attain Brahman, Brahmanapati, kachid vimudo, will he get bewildered on his path to attaining Brahman? Ubhaya vibrashta. With faith in yoga, he gave up karma. If he had pursued karma, he would have achieved swarga. He gave it up. He took up yoga. Gave up yoga also. Why? No sufficient abhyasa, no sufficient vairagya. Will his position be like a riven cloud, as Prabhupada writes? A small piece of a cloud detaches itself from one big chunk and it wants to join the other chunk. And in between, the wind actually disperses it, you know. And it has no sufficient, you know, mass to retain itself. So in between it may get. Will the position of this yogi be like that? Will he na gharka na ghatka? You know, neither he will attain success of karma, will go to swarga, nor will he attain success of yoga and achieve liberation. So will his position become like that? Krishna says, good question. Partha naiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate nahi kalyanakrit kaschit durgatim tata gachati. He says, in this life and in his next life, he will not fail. So Krishna gives this confidence. Don't worry, if a yogi takes up to this path and if he is not able to muster sufficient endeavor, abhyasa and vairagya in this life, whatever he does will be carried over to next life. No problem. Okay. Kalyanakrit, for a person who has taken up to this auspicious path of yoga, nahi kaschit durgatim gachati. He will certainly be not deprived of his benefits. He will attain the benefits. Slowly. If not immediately, gradually he will attain. So don't worry about it. So how? So Krishna describes two propositions. When a yogi who has practiced little bit and gives it up or dies, what is his destination? Or a yogi who has practiced for sufficiently long time and gives it up, what is his destination? He says, Prapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashvati samaha shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. He says, a yoga bhrashta who has given up his yoga or who has died without achieving perfection, but having performed little yoga, little abhyas, little vairagya, whatever little he could do, he performed yoga, gave it up. What will happen to him? He says, prapya punyakritam lokan. He will attain the abode of the pious people, swarga. Ushitva shashvati samaha. He will live there for a long enough time. And then, shuchinam shrimatam gehe abhijayate. He will take birth in the house of either a religious person or a wealthy person so that he can continue his practice. So that is facilitated through birth. Krishna is directly telling in Bhagavad Gita. So for one who gives it up, facilitation through birth is ensured by Krishna. Paranishtanga yogi. Then, in the next verse, he says, Atava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam, etadhi durlabataram loke janma yadi drisham. He says, Atava, if he has practiced for a long enough time, then what happens? Dhimatam yoginam kule bhavati. He will take birth in the family of intelligent yogis. Idrisham janma durlabataram. But this kind of birth is very rare. But because generally not many yogis reach that situation only, reach that stage of advanced practice and giving up their lives. So it is difficult in this world, etadhi loke durlabataram. It is very difficult. But nevertheless, this is facilitated. And Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur says that the destination of yogis who fell after doing a little practice was described in the previous verse. This verse describes the destination of yogis who fell after a long practice. So they are born in the families of yogis such as Nimi. He gives the example also. So now, and then he says, Tattartham buddhi samyogam labate paurva dehikam yatate cha tato boyah samsiddhau kurunandana. He says that in that situation, in these two situations, labate parvadahikam, he attains the state of advancement that he had attained in his previous lives. He attains that and from there he progresses. Buddhi samyogam, he uses his intelligence in practicing yoga and he progresses. Tato bhuyaha samsiddhau yatate, and he endeavors to achieve perfection from there. Okay. Purvabhyasena tenaiva kriyate hi avashopi saha jigyasurapi yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. So now the question is, will he again get attracted to karma? He says no. Purva abhyasena saha hriyate. Hriyate means he will be attracted again by his purva abhyas. Purva abhyas means abhyas in his previous life. Because of his abhyas of yoga in his previous life, hriyate avashaha api. He will helplessly get attracted to yoga. And by that attraction, shabda brahma ativartate. He will overcome, he will surpass the karmakandiya section of Vedas and he will not get attracted to karma. He will get attracted to yoga. So this guarantee is given by Krishna to Arjuna. Don't worry. So a yogi who takes up without sufficient abhyasa and vairagya need not feel disappointed. It will be facilitated through birth in shuchinam shrimatam gehe or kule bhavati dhimatam. So he will take birth. Okay. And then finally he says, prayatnad yatamanastu yogi samshuddha kilbishaha aneka janma samsiddha statoyati paramgatim. And when he continues practice of yoga, yogi samshuddha kilbishaha, slowly all the obstacles which are stopping him from putting proper abhyas and vairagya, that will be destroyed. And after aneka janma, after many lifetimes of such practice, of again and again shuchinam shrimatam gehe, or kule bhavati dhimatam, he will keep taking birth, and finally, tato yati paramgatim, he will attain his destination. I mean, guarantee is given, but it's a delayed guarantee. It takes time, he says. But nevertheless, he says that progress is facilitated through birth. This is for an Ashtanga yogi. Guarantee is there right from Bhagavad Gita. But now the question is, what about a devotee who is not able to perfect his devotional service in this life? Is there any guarantee that Krishna gives? Yes. Unlimited guarantee. But is any of those guarantees related to birth? That we need to investigate. Okay. I will share a few verses. If I miss out, you can, if you remember some verses, you can share. If there is any verse where Krishna guarantees birth in a devotee family. He doesn't deny it. But does he guarantee? Is that a guarantee for devotees? Let us see some verses. Some verses from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, where such guarantee is given. Let us see some guarantee verses. And we'll see if in those guarantee verses, if birth is guaranteed for devotees. A direct comparison verse for this question that Arjuna asks would be, Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan apakvo atapate tato yadi yatrakva vabhadram abudamushyakim kovarta apto abhajatam swadharmatah. Narada Muni's instruction to Vyasadeva. Direct comparison verse, right? So same thing. Ayati shraddayopeto yoga chalita manasa. Same question. So here, tyaktva swadharmam. He gives up his path of karma, swadharma. Charanam bhujam harer bhajan. And he takes up to worship of lotus feet of Krishna. Apakvo. But before it becomes ripe, apakvo, before it becomes ripe, or atapatet, or he may give it up also due to his conditionings. Tato yadi, if he gives it up, Krishna says, Amushya kimva abhadram abhut. This is he is indicating that there is no abhadra, there is no loss. He says that, Srila Vishnu Chakradakur commenting on this, he says, having given up one's dharma, even at the beginning stages of bhakti, a person who worships the lotus feet of Lord will incur no sin by giving up that dharma. This is understood from Devarshi Bhutapta Ninam Pitranam verse. And if the person dies without being qualified to attain the Lord, or if while alive falls down because of sinful acts, being attached to material pleasures, even then, there is no misfortune incurred by having given up karmas. There is no misfortune. Then how does the help come? He says, because the impressions created by bhakti are indestructible and remain in a subtle form. So the impressions created by bhakti are indestructible. So this is a suggestion here that, whatever practice that he had done, those impressions will stay. That guarantee is there. But again, there is no explicit mention of next birth being from a devotee. Okay. So, then in the next verse, couple of verses later, he says, how those impressions work? He says, Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajen mukunda sevi anyavad anga samsritim smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatu michen na rasagrahojana. He says, my dear Shaunakadirishis, mukunda sevi jana, one who has served Mukunda, who is a devotee, Navai jatu katanchana samsriti mavrajet. At no point, under no circumstances, such a person will again return to the cycle of samsara, which is generated by one's karma. He will never come back to having once taken up bhakti if he does not give it up due to offenses. He will never return back to samsara, which means his subsequent birth will not be by his karma. Okay. Anyavad, like other people, like a karma yogi who takes up to karma and gives it up, his next birth will be generated by his karma only, but not for a devotee. So how the help comes for a devotee to progress further? Narada Muni says, smaran mukundangri upaguhanam. Upaguhanam means embrace. And the acharyas explain, embrace means, so he says, smaran mukundangri upaguhanam. Krishna makes that person remember his past embrace of Krishna's lotus feet. So, what is this past embrace of Krishna's lotus feet? He says, his past good experiences in bhakti. Whatever wonderful experiences that he had in bhakti, Krishna will remind. In this lifetime, it may exist in the form of memories. In the subsequent lifetimes, it may exist in the form of intuitions, gut feelings, a favorable attraction. Right? So, in this lifetime, it may exist in the form of memories. Right? So, Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Punar Vihatum Ichchen. Punar Vihatum Na Ichchen. Such a person will decide, wow, such a wonderful path of bhakti, why did I give it up? And then he will again try to practice it. He say, I will never ever give it up again. But then again, due to the force of conditioning or due to association, he may give it up. But again he thinks, oh, such a one. Again Krishna gives him remembrance. Remembrance he guarantees. Birth not mentioned. Neither in the purports or commentaries, nor in the verse itself directly. Okay. I am not going through the commentaries because of shortage of time. Okay. So, very beautiful purport if you can read it whenever you have time. And so many other places Krishna gives assurance to devotees. But interestingly, as far as I can recollect or see, no assurance of birth in a favorable family. He doesn't deny it. But he doesn't guarantee it also. For example, some guarantee verses we will see. Krishna says, Ananyas chintayantomam yejana paryavasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. So Krishna says, I carry what they lack, carry what they have, and I protect what they have and carry what they lack. Yoga kshemam vahami aham. Okay. In commenting on this verse, the acharyas say, on the other hand, the happiness of my ananya bhaktas is given by me, Krishna. It is not obtained by pious acts. For such persons, I take care of their attainment of wealth, which is considered as yoga, and their maintenance, which is kshema. Though they do not expect such things from me, but I take care of that. So Krishna says, I personally take care of their maintenance. Maintenance and providing and maintenance I take care. Krishna gives that guarantee. But how? He does not say. And then other guarantee verses where in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. I give the intelligence by which that devotee can attain me. That guarantee is given. What if in attaining Krishna, the past material vasanas act as an obstacle? Krishna says in the next verse, Tesham evanu kampartam aham agyanajam tamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswata. So he says, by bhaswata jnana deepena, by the shining lamp of knowledge, aham agyanajam tamaha nashayami. I will destroy all the unfavorable material impressions which act as an obstacle for you to attaining me. That guarantee Krishna gives. I will give you buddhi to attain me. That guarantee Krishna gives. But does he facilitate it through birth? Neither the verse says, nor the acharyas explain that way. Another guarantee verse, 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matpara ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanto upasate tesham aham samuddarta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha mayyaveshita chetasam. So very clearly Krishna says that aham nachirat samuddarta bhavami. I will act as the quick deliverer. I will quickly deliver that person. Mrityu samsara sagarat. From the ocean of repeated birth and death. Which person? Mayyaveshita chetasam. One who meditates on me I will quickly deliver him from samsara. That guarantee is given by Krishna. But how? That is not mentioned. So, in the purport, Srila Vishnachakra Thakur says that the question arises. I am reading from the middle of the purport, not from the beginning. So, someone may ask, still, what is the method by which they cross samsara? So, the answer Krishna says, there is no question about the method by which they cross samsara. Because without even having a method, I take them over it. I take responsibility for them. Forget about the methods. No clear-cut methodology provided by Krishna here. I quickly become their deliverer from the ocean of samsara. Like that. Again, another guarantee verse. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Right? So, very quickly he will become a dharmatma if he has struggles. So, and again, very nice purports. I am not going into it because time is running very fast. So, so therefore, okay, I will read some part of the purport. So, Krishna says, Arjuna says, in the previous verse was, Apichet Suduracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhakvars. So, Arjuna says, okay, if he eventually becomes righteous, no argument. But, what if his sinful tendencies remain till death? What is the position of such a person? At the time of death also, there are clear-cut symptoms of sinful tendencies, vasanas, anarthas. What about him? What is his position, Krishna? So, Shri Krishna Chakradaguru writes, the Lord, affectionate to his devotees, then speaks loudly with a little anger. He says, Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, my devotee is not destroyed. At the time of death, he will not fall. Which means he will not fall into the ocean of samsara. Which means I guarantee his next birth. The next birth of devotee is orchestrated by Krishna. That guarantee Krishna gives. But where, he does not see. So, he says, but arguers with harsh tongues will not respect this proposal that you are presenting. Krishna then tells Arjuna, O Kaunteya, going to the squabbling assembly with a tumultuous sound of drums, go with your entourage with all the drums and all that. Let them know your presence. Let them know that you have something very valuable to share with them. Catch their attention and tell them, throw your hands in the air and fearlessly declare this. Arjuna asks, declare what? Krishna says, declare that my devotee, the devotee of the Supreme Lord, even though he may fall prey to sins, does not perish in the ocean of samsara, but rather he attains success. How? Tesham evanu kampartam aham ajnana jamtamaha nashayami jnana deepena bhasvata. Right. So, he says, arguments defeated, pride deflated, they should undoubtedly respect you as a guru. This is what Krishna tells Arjuna. Their pride deflated and their arguments defeated, they will undoubtedly accept you as a guru. And he says, this is Sridhar Swami's explanation. Sridhar Swami explains it this way. Of course, so many other such guarantee verses, right? Like Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami. So, I will take care of your sins and all that, he says. But nowhere here, Krishna seems to guarantee that I will take care of you by making you take birth in a devotee's family. I mean, if you can recollect some verses, you can please share. So, Krishna's guarantee reciprocation is certainly guaranteed. There is no doubt about it. But is there a fixed way of Krishna's reciprocation with the devotees? Is there a fixed way in which Krishna reciprocates with his devotees? That we need to understand. Birth, no doubt, is a way. There is no doubt. That is why here, Krishna can definitely orchestrate a devotee's further progress through birth. There is no doubt about it. He can do it. But apparently he does not always do it. That's definitely not a guarantee that he is giving. Okay. So we will take a small conversation from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 9th chapter, the conversation between Bhishma Dev and Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting. You all know this episode, famous series of verses. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is lamenting that, oh, I have become the cause of the suffering of so many people. So many people died, so many women became widows and children became fatherless and all that. All because of my greed for the kingdom, like that he was lamenting. And Krishna brings Yudhishthira Maharaj in front of Bhishma Dev. We all know the story, to glorify Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev says, Aho kashtam aho anyayam yadyuyam dharmanandana. Jeevitum narhata klishtam vipradharma achutashraya. He says, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam. What distress you had to go through and what injustice you had to face. Actually, you are lamenting, claiming yourself to be the cause of so much suffering. But you know what? You don't deserve to be living here right now. You must have died long time back along with all your family members. Jeevitum narhata klishtam. You don't deserve to have survived through all these, you know, miseries and dangers that you had to go through. If only not for your vipra dharma achutashre. Just because you took shelter of vipra dharma and achuta, therefore you survived. So therefore, what to speak of injustice? You never retaliated to your injustice that has been done to you throughout your life. This is very just. Don't lament. Then, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, then why am I suffering? What is the cause of my suffering? Bhishma Dev says, Sarvam kalakritam manye, bhavatam cha yadapriyam, sapalo yadvashe loko vayor ivaganavali. Time is the cause. Time is the cause of your suffering. Yudhishthira Maharaj says, time? What is time? Time is just an impersonal entity. No one can say time is the cause of suffering. That's a very superficial understanding and no one learns anything from that. Time is the cause of suffering. Theek hai, abhi mujhe, you know, it is time for me to suffer. I will suffer. I mean, what do you mean? Time means what? So he tells Bhishma Dev, you know what is time? Time is the conveyor belt which carries one's karma. Time, the substratum of time is karma. Time is just the conveyor belt. You cannot criticize the conveyor belt. Time is like the postman. Right? So if the postman is delivering your 10th standard mark sheet, and if you have failed, and you say postman is the cause, you are attributing my suffering to time is like that. Why am I sad? Because the postman delivered me, the mark sheet. But you only wrote the exam, right? So he's not delivering something which you don't deserve. So time is just the substratum of karma. It is just the conveyor belt which carries karma. So why are you sugarcoating it by telling sarvam kala kritam manye? Why can't you just tell sarvam tava karma kritam manye? Your suffering is due to your karma only. Just be open. Just tell it on my face. I am willing to accept. That's what I am also telling. I am suffering because of my own karma. So Bhishma Dev says, no, you got it all wrong. He says, ಯತ್ರ ಧರ್ಮಸುತೋ ರಾಜ ಗದಾಪಾಣಿರ್ ಮೃಗೋದರ ಕೃಷ್ಣೋ ಅಸ್ತ್ರಿ ಗಾಂಡೀವಂ ಚಾಪಂ ಸುಹೃತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ತೋ ವಿಪತ್. ಯು ಆರ್ ಕ್ಲೈಮಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ಯುವರ್ ಕರ್ಮ. ನೌ ಮೈ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಇಸ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ಧರ್ಮಸುತ, ಯು ಆರ್ ದ ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ಧರ್ಮರಾಜ್, ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಧರ್ಮ, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಧರ್ಮ. ಸೊ ಯು ವುಡ್ ನೆವರ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಅನ್ ಅಧರ್ಮಿಕ್ ವೇ, ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಲೌ ಯುವರ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಆಕ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ಅನ್ ಅಧರ್ಮಿಕ್ ವೇ. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಯುಧಿಷ್ಠಿರ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಮೇ ಸೇ, ಓ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅಂಡರ್ ನಾರ್ಮಲ್ ಸರ್ಕಮ್ಸ್ಟಾನ್ಸಸ್, ಅಂಡರ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಸರ್ಕಮ್ಸ್ಟಾನ್ಸಸ್ ವಿ ಮೇ ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ಧರ್ಮ. ಸೊ ಈ ಸೇಸ್ ಗದಾಪಾಣಿರ್ ವೃಕೋದರ ಕೃಷ್ಣೋ ಅಸ್ತ್ರಿ ಗಾಂಡೀವಂ ಚಾಪಂ, ಟು ಪ್ರೊಟೆಕ್ಟ್ ಯು ಫ್ರಮ್ ಸಚ್ ಅನ್ಯಾಚುರಲ್ ಸರ್ಕಮ್ಸ್ಟಾನ್ಸಸ್, ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗೆಸ್ಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಆನ್ ಅರ್ತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಸ್ಕಿಲ್ಫುಲ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಆನ್ ಅರ್ತ್, ಭೀಮ ಅಂಡ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ. ಅಂಡ್ ಆನ್ ಟಾಪ್ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ಸುಹೃತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಯುವರ್ ಫ್ರೆಂಡ್ ಗೈಡಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಸ್ಟೇಜಸ್. ಹೌ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ಕುಡ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಅನ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಅಧರ್ಮಿಕ್? ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ದಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ಕರ್ಮ, ಯುವರ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ಕರ್ಮ. ದೆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್? ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್, ತಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಇದಂ ದೈವತಂತ್ರಂ ವ್ಯವಸ್ಯ ಭರತ ಋಷಭ. ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸರ್ನ್ ದಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಎ ಡಿವೋಟಿ. ಸೊ ಟೈಮ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡ್ಯುವಲ್ ಪೋರ್ಟ್ಫೋಲಿಯೋ. ಒನ್, ಇಟ್ ಆಕ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ಕನ್ವೇಯರ್ ಬೆಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಕ್ಯಾರಿ ಕರ್ಮ ಫಾರ್ ದೋಸ್ ಹು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. But for those who have surrendered to Krishna, time acts as the conveyor belt to carry Krishna's will. Tasmad idam daivatantram vyavasya bharatarishabha. Accept this as will of Krishna. Okay? Then Yudhishthira Maharaj asks, what is the will of Krishna? What is it that Krishna wants to accomplish? What is Krishna's plan? ಭೀಷ್ಮದೇವ ಸೇಸ್, ನಹಿಯಸ್ಯ ಕರ್ಹಿಚಿದ್ ರಾಜನ್ ಪುಮಾನ್ ವೇದ ವಿದಿತ್ಸಿತುಂ ಯದ್ ವಿಜಿಜ್ಞಾಸೆಯ ಯುಕ್ತ ಮುಯ್ಯಂತಿ ಕವಯೋಪಿಹಿ. ಭೀಷ್ಮದೇವ ಸೇಸ್, ಡೋಂಟ್ ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್, ನಾಟ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್. ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟ್ರೈಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್, ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟ್ರೈ, ನೋ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್, ಬಟ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫೈಂಡ್ ಇಟ್. ಪುಮಾನ್ ನಹಿ ಕರ್ಹಿಚಿದ್ ವೇದ, ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನೆವರ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದ ಪ್ಲಾನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಬೆನವಲೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಗ್ಯಾರಂಟೀಡ್, but how he is going to express that benevolence, no guarantee, no one knows. After experiencing happiness or distress given by Krishna, a discerning devotee can see the hands of Krishna, but what that Krishna's hand is going to do next in his life, he cannot see. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asks, so what should I conclude? So he says, everyone agrees that no one can interfere with the plans of Krishna, and no one can even understand what his plans are, even today. Even today means with Krishna standing right next to you. Don't think that you can understand his plan. No person starting with Brahma and Shiva knows the plan of the Lord. What to speak of me? Bhishma Dev is telling. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, okay, maybe no one knows the plan of the Lord, but still I have to inquire, right? I have to inquire. Does he want to give us suffering? Does he want to give us joy? Does he want to give us suffering and joy? What does he want to give? So, if I think Yudhishthira Maharaj is debating, does he want to give us suffering? So he thinks, that cannot be true, because Krishna is affectionate, I know. I have experienced affection. Even though we have experienced a lot of suffering, but I cannot tell for sure that he wants to give me suffering. Does he want to give me happiness? That is not true, because we have hardly experienced happiness in our life, in one sense. Of course, from an external point of view. But they were happy because of Krishna's presence. Does he want to give us happiness and suffering both mixed bag? So he says, that also I cannot tell for sure, because it would be a contradiction to his kind nature. It would make him very whimsical. So he says, look, stop debating this way. Bhishma Dev says, No one can solve this problem by inquiry. This problem is not solvable by inquiry. Okay. So therefore he says, Muyanti Kavayopihi. Even the most intelligent people are bewildered to understand how Krishna is going to ask, act. And then he says, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, well, wait. All that you say is true when Krishna is not close. Now Krishna is right here. I will go and asking Krishna, what is your plan for me next? Tell me. Dut ka dut, pani ka pani. You know, the problem will be resolved. I'll go and ask him. Bhishma Dev says, Eshavai Bhagavan Sakshad Adyo Narayana Puman Mohayan Mayaya Lokam Gudas Charati Virshnishu. You know who this person is? He is Sakshad Adyo Narayana Bhagavan. He is the original Narayana, the Supreme Lord. Mohayan Mayaya Lokam. He always works through his Maya potency only. Either Yoga Maya for people like you or Mahamaya for other people. So when you go and ask him, he will tell you, come, I'll tell you what my plan is. And he will tell you something and you will think you have understood. But you will realize that you have not understood. Then you will go and ask him again, he will give an explanation that how you should have understood it. And he says, oh, right, yeah, correct. And then he says, okay, what's your next plan? And he will tell, okay, this is my next plan. And you think you would have understood it, but something else will happen. And then he will give an explanation for this. In this way, his Maya potency is very strong. So therefore, no one can understand the plan of Krishna. That's what he says. So therefore, why he puts someone into suffering? There is explanation for that. You know, in verses like, you know, Yasyaham anugrinami harishyetad dhanam shanaihi tato adhanam tejantyasya swajana dukkha dukkitam. You know, in the explanation of that verse, if you read Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhara's commentary to that particular verse, there is a very, very elaborate explanation of why Krishna puts his devotees into suffering. Various reasons are given. Okay, we will not get into those purports. Okay, it's a long purport but very sweet purport. He gives various reasons why Krishna puts his devotees into suffering. Okay, there is explanation. So Krishna does not guarantee that I will not put my devotee under suffering. So, but he explains why I put my devotees into suffering. But whether I will put my devotees into suffering the next moment, there is no explanation for that. He may give suffering. Is this, let us take this verse. Krishna says, Yasyaham anugrinami harishyetad dhanam shanaihi tato adhanam tejantyasya swajana dukkha dukkitam. If I want to show my anugraha to someone, I take all of his wealth away and then his relatives and friends abandon him, and in this way he is forced to take shelter of me. Is this a norm? Does Krishna do this to everyone? This is not a norm. This is one thing that Krishna says, I do this also. But it's not that I always do this to everyone. Because this is not seen. This is contradictory to Pratyaksha Praman also. Not that all devotees of Krishna are begging on the street. This is not true. So that does not mean they are not experiencing Krishna's anugraha also. Right? So I will not go into this purport, but if you get an opportunity, please do read this purport. Very beautiful purport by Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhara to this. So whether he will give suffering or happiness is not guaranteed. So therefore, in a 10th canto verse, which is often quoted by the acharyas, the verse says, Bhavadutta Shubha Ashubayoho. For devotees, says happiness and distress born out of Krishna for his devotees. Bhavadutta Shubha Ashubayoho. Auspicious and so-called auspicious and inauspicious things are created in a devotee's life by Krishna only. So it is not only so-called Ashubha, Yasyaham Anugrinami. Shubha is also there. That is why in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, talking about the benefits of bhakti, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Kleshagni Shubhada. And in describing Shubhada, he says, what is Shubhada? What is auspiciousness? What is that auspiciousness that bhakti grants? He says that Jagat Preenanam Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata Sadgunadi Pradatvam Sukha Pradatvam. Four types, he says. He says that Jagat Preenanam. One becomes very compassionately disposed to all living entities. Sarva Jagatam Anuraktata. One becomes very attractive to all living entities. These are symptoms of auspiciousness bestowed by bhakti or by Krishna directly. Sadgunadi Pradatvam. All good qualities are bestowed upon that person. And the fourth thing he says is Sukha Pradatvam. Happiness. And what kind of happiness? Srila Rupa Goswami says three types. Vaishaikam, Brahmam, Aishwaram. Vaishaikam means, he says, material benefits. Material happiness. In the beginning stages of bhakti, practice of bhakti bestows material wealth also. Material happiness also. So therefore this principle of Yasyaham Anugrinami is not a very consistent principle, that it's not such a predictable tool that Krishna always uses. So the principle is, how can I get this soul closer to my lotus feet? Sometimes for that he may take the wealth away, sometimes he may not necessarily take that wealth away also. Okay. So we see in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, so many other such. Ambarish Maharaj had a kingdom, Yudhishthir Maharaj had a kingdom, Dhruva Maharaj had a kingdom. Practically every single person in Bhagavatam, most of the personalities, you know, this Yasyaham Anugrinami principle at some stage in their life might have been applied. But for most of the times, they remain quite prosperous only. In every single canto, you can find at least one person for whom this principle was not applied actually. Right? So therefore, the point is, birth may be one way in which Krishna may facilitate further practice of the devotee, but it is not the way, and it is not guaranteed at all by Krishna anywhere, as far as I know, in the scriptures. Right? We will see some examples where it was facilitated and directly mentioned also. We see the example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sasrakur. He took birth to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own case you take. He was not born to a Vaishnava parents. First, he was born to Shakta parents, who were Durga worshippers. Then he tried out some Shaivism, some Christianity, Islam also he tried. And eventually he found Chaitanya Charitamrita, he read, and that kind of explanation. Of course, he is a Nitya Siddha. That is another thing. Srila Prabhupada's own case, you know, he attributes his devotion to his father, Gaur Mohan De. It is there, no doubt about it. So Prabhupada attributes Krishna's facilitation through birth in this particular, in his own case also. But having said that, this is not always true. There are so many other examples opposed to this. You see Advaita Acharya's own sons, Asar, some of them were Asar. While Prabhupada attributes his own devotion to the devotion of his father, Gaur Mohan De, what about Prabhupada's own children? Not many of them took up to serious devotional service, right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, you know, right? And we see even in contemporary examples, like, you know, so many. Yamuna Mataji, it is documented her father was a butcher by profession. She took up to devotional service, and very early in her devotional service, Srila Prabhupada identified, she is at the stage of bhava. Prabhupada directly told Tamal Krishna Maharaj this. But this Yamuna, she is at the stage of bhava, Prabhupada told. Of course, you may say, so you may attribute it to her prior practice of devotional service. Or you can say, as Srila Rupa Goswami says, దురూహ అద్భుత వీర్యేస్మిన్ శ్రద్ధ దూరేస్తు పంచకే ఎత్ర స్వల్పాపి సంబంధ సద్యాం భావజన్మని. హీ సేస్ దట్ వెన్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ద ఫైవ్ మోస్ట్ పొటెంట్ లింబ్స్ శ్రీల రూప గోస్వామి సేస్ దట్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ది పొటెన్సీ ఆఫ్ దీస్ ఫైవ్ మోస్ట్ పొటెంట్ లింబ్స్ ఇస్ ఇన్కన్సీవబ్లీ వండర్ఫుల్. శ్రద్ధ దూరేస్తు పంచకే, శ్రద్ధతో దూరికి బాధ. ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ వన్ మే నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ దీస్ ఫైవ్ లింబ్స్, ఫైవ్ మోస్ట్ పొటెంట్ లింబ్స్, ఎత్ర స్వల్పాపి సంబంధ, ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ స్వల్ప సంబంధ విత్ దీస్ థింగ్స్, సద్యాం. సద్యాం మీన్స్ ఇఫ్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ కంప్లీట్లీ ఒఫెన్స్లెస్. భావజన్మని, ఇట్ ఇమీడియట్లీ గివ్స్ బర్త్ టు భావ. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ క్వైట్ పాసిబుల్ దట్ యమునా మాతాజీ వాస్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ ఒఫెన్స్లెస్ అండ్ దేర్ఫోర్ యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ షీ టుక్ అప్ టు దీస్ ఫైవ్ లింబ్స్ షీ ఇమీడియట్లీ గేవ్ బర్త్ టు భావ. దట్ ఈస్ వన్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. ఆర్ ప్రాబబ్లీ దేర్ వాస్ పూర్వాభ్యాస ఇన్ అ ప్రేయర్ లైఫ్. సో వన్స్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీల భక్తి సిద్ధాంత ఠాకూర్ హీ అప్రోచ్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత ఠాకూర్ అండ్ ఆస్క్డ్ వై ఇస్ ఇట్ దట్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ వెరీ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ టేక్ బర్త్ ఇన్ వెరీ అబ్స్క్యూర్ ఫ్యామిలీస్, you know, where there is no pedigree of bhakti at all, why do they take birth in such families? Bhakshila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur said, in order to show that bhakti is not dependent on any material condition, in order to show to this whole world, so Krishna purposefully makes his devotees who might be yoga brashtas, you know, bhakti yoga brashtas, he will make them take birth in obscure families. They may not get that impetus from their families. They may get it sometimes, some other time down the line through some other association. Right? So, therefore, here to conclude, if you see in this case, here is Suta Goswami attributing Parikshit Maharaj's birth to his Pitamaha, who is Yudhishthir Maharaj, his exalted stature, right? But we see in the case of Vena, Vena's father was Anga, was an excellent devotee. But you may say, oh, Vena's nature can be connected to his maternal grandfather because it is generally told that the grandson takes the nature of the maternal grandfather. How? Because the daughter takes the nature of the father and the son takes the nature of the mother. This explanation is given. But in explaining Parikshit Maharaj, there is no mention of his matamaha. There is description of his pitamaha. Yudhishthir Maharaj is his paternal grandfather, not maternal grandfather. So these explanations are there, but these are not normative. These are suggestive. In some cases they may work, but it is not one principle that works. Ultimately the one principle that works is Krishna's orchestration. How Krishna wants to orchestrate, he is Swarat. He doesn't follow any inferior norms. There is no inferior norm that he is subjected to. The one norm that works is, I will take care of my devotee's life personally. But how? That he will not reveal. That norm is guaranteed. No other norm is guaranteed. So therefore, is it guaranteed that a devotee will get a devotee son or daughter? No guarantee. This life, if someone leaves his body without perfecting his bhakti but having significantly practiced bhakti, is it guarantee that he will take birth to devotees? No guarantee. But facilitation is guaranteed. How? Krishna only knows. But there is no specific methodology that Krishna mentions here. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.
హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ.